sommes bienvenus à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Labrador. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, March 8, 2026. Happy International Women's Day and spring forward. I don't know if this time adjustment only applies to, like, is the whole world participating in this whole spring forward, leap back, no, what's the other one? Fall backwards, changing the time, adjusting the, you know what, whatever. I always get distracted with this part. All right, March 8th, Sunday, March 8th. Gentle disclaimer, today's episode is also rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label Nazza, motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast ain't for you. All right, before I start the show, I want to send a shout out to all you listeners out there all over the world, and I wanna ask you a favor and just applaud yourself. And the reason I do that is because if you're my target demographic, then you're like me, and you probably are in the habit of applauding everyone else except yourself. So this is your reminder to be kind. Be kind. Excuse me, I'm joking. I have a bad habit of giving people advice that I don't follow, so that's why I'm laughing. I'm like, okay, all right, but this time I mean it. Be kind. All right, and if this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Yay! That's right. That includes those of you who may have clicked on this podcast thinking I was the other Shut Up Podcast. See, they're Shut Up Podcast. I'm Shut Up Podcast. I mean, French-Canadian. Twing to it. No, seriously, if you stick around, I'm grateful. If not, I won't take it personal. But if you stick around, here's hoping I say something on this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. Episode 326. And on this episode, I'll be talking about the last time I got a finger in the butt. Yeah, finger. I'm tempted. If I find the courage, I'm tempted to title this episode Finger in the Butt. I've been meaning to talk about this topic. And if it makes you uncomfortable, it's intended. It's, add that to the disclaimer. May make you feel uncomfortable if you're not secure in your sexuality. All right. And before we do that, we're going to start with, like we always start. All right. All right, I forgot to introduce the topic. So before I get to the final say, which is the finger in the butt part, I will be talking about, we start with two segments called quotables and randomness. So quotables, I just got one for today, and it goes like this. This one's deep. It said, you'd have to understand how accessible I am not to truly appreciate how accessible I am to you. I appreciate this one for two reasons. I remember thinking in the comment section and saying how it was through therapy that I learned how, it was through therapy, I'm not saying in therapy, but through therapy, through the process of therapy, that I realized that not everyone is entitled to my time. And I say this because, you know, if you grew up in a household where, how can I describe it? Essentially, people who felt entitled to your time, or the idea that people are entitled to your presence. And if you don't give it to them, they guilt you into having it. You know, oh, you're a bad person. You're whatever. It's I'm realizing I had the thought in my mind, but I find myself having difficulty explaining it. But the point is realizing how to, it's as only as an adult that I realized that not everyone is entitled to my time, and it's to be very to be mindful. Like if the people you're with don't treat your present as a blessing, vice versa. If you're with someone you don't feel is a blessing, like if you be very selective on who you call friends, who you call a friend. That's what I'm trying to say. I think at a young age, everyone's your friend. It was easy. It was easy admission. Everyone's your friend. You're willing to give out your heart to anyone. You're willing to believe anyone. And then after a series of disappointment, you start realizing that, oh shit, okay, I gotta be careful who I call friend, who I allow to be in this ship. I'm really trying to think of examples on how easy it is to fall for the temptation of being a friend to all and a friend to none. All right, okay, I said there was two. The second one is, it just, I think this quote, you'd have to understand how accessible I am not to truly appreciate how accessible I am to you. I believe it's more, it's also a line about appreciating, like the saying of, you're gonna miss me when I'm gone. And I've been in that situation of taking someone for granted, and then when they were gone, then I was like, oh wow, that's when you realize that they're you know, it's vice versa, right? You can be the person who makes people realize that how ugly things could get without your presence, or you could be the one who takes advantage of it. You know, I'm trying to say, it was a deep quote, man. Shout out to Talal Masi, the poet Talal Masi. I feel like I'm bragging about the fact that I follow him on social media, but more for the part of, I'm grateful that he blesses my timeline with thought provoking quotables like these. All right, let's jump to randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
I may be poor, but I am somebody. I may be on welfare, but I am somebody. I may be in jail, but I am somebody. I may be uneducated, but I am somebody. I am black, beautiful, proud. I must be respected.
Feeling emotional. I shared this also to bring up that make sure I get my facts right. So Jesse Jackson passed away, and his funeral was this past week. Let me just get the exact date. So he died on February 17. Huey P. Newton's birthday. So I heard the news. I wasn't paying attention. I guess I don't know. The way I processed news and everything. Okay, he passed away. Speaking of taking people for granted, he passed away, but I didn't think of it. And it was just when, on my timeline, Obama posted something about him, posted a message, and I'm reading the comment section, and someone shared the clip, the I Am Somebody clip. And it reminded me of this one time in my life being so down and out. And I found a part of my brain had to remind me of that speech or that part, but that chant, that saying by Jesse Jackson, I am somebody. I had to remind myself that I am somebody. And it's one of those things that out of all the deeds by Jesse Jackson, I ain't know much about the man. I mean, aside from that he was a prominent figure and politician and activist, all the above. And but in terms of his this is like the most memorable thing about Jesse. And that's just a drop, I know, in the ocean. But for me, where it hits home is that I am somebody chant. Shit, I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. So all this to say that RIP, Jesse Jackson.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right, okay. So next is... this is a good switch. This is an interesting switch. Okay, I'm going to try to... I purposely... Did I put a lot of stuff in this menu? No, okay. All right. this is a potential for me to go long. So I'm trying to, like, organize my thoughts so I know what I'm trying to say here. But it starts with, fuck Elon Musk. As a staff, record label, as a motherfucking crew. When I talk about Whitey, I'm thinking about people like Elon Musk. But the reason I'm saying fuck Elon Musk specifically, okay, at first, when I initially wrote this post, is because on the next randomness that I'll be sharing, I'm going to be talking to some nerd shit about some web development thing, this automation that I did for my website, right? But in the process of automating my site, I learned that one thing I was trying to do is when I publish an episode, I wanted one button that allowed me to publish an episode and then post on all my social medias that, hey, new episode alert, right? So in the process of doing that, I found out that Twitter, fuck X, I'm not calling it X. Twitter used to have an API. I guess for you non-techies, a component that would allow me to that would facilitate that. There you go. Big words. All right. Facilitate that. That would make it possible. But in order to do that, apparently you got to sign up to be part of their preferred people. I don't know. Or those, I'm not sure what it is. But okay. But the bill looked like $100 a month. And I'm like, suck my dick. Anyway, yeah, so that's why I'm like, fuck Elon Musk. But the part where I'm worried about going long is because the thing about Jesse Jackson, in contrast with Jesse Jackson, is I remember being in my early 20s and believe because I was into motivational speakers and just learning from my elders, just learning from people that I thought were elders, the idea of living a life worth speaking about. Living a life of service, that's what I'm trying to get at. Living a life of service felt like that's what I was about. Am I still like that? I don't know. But I remember believing that's why I exist, in service of humanity. And I thought life, I'm not going to say you go into heaven, but you're like favored. You're favored by the Almighty. The more you meet people's needs, the more you help humanity, the more when you go into heaven, you're like, thumbs up. Right? So I felt like Jesse Jackson lived that kind of life. Like he lived for the benefit of others. Then you got Elon Musk. And he represents the complete opposite of what I thought life was about. Now, granted, I don't know the man. I'm sure there's a few investors, a few racist white dudes, white folks who are grateful for his existence. But he does not look like the kind of person, like when he thinks of humanity, he's not thinking of black people. I mean, if he is, it's, you know, black people who like know how where to stay in their place. I guess the long story short is, fuck Elon Musk because he's a billionaire. I believe if this game of being a billionaire, I think being a billionaire is the most evil thing, the evil thing you can be for a human being. I mean, some people look at it as like a great achievement, like you clown Mount Everest, but I'm like, all, you're the motherfucker who's like, I'm keeping all the toys for myself. I'm keeping all the food for myself. We're on an island. We're six people on an island, and you like grab all the resource for yourself. And you're like, well, you know what, ladies, I'll share some of this shit with you if you give up the punani. You know what I mean? Fellas, I'll give it up to you if you become my bitch. Do you know what I mean? Like, I guess I'm contrasting life of service versus life of, what's the opposite? The life of selfishness. Service to humanity and service to yourself. That's why I'm, from the bottom of my soul, I'm like, fuck Elon Musk. Wow, that went longer than I need to. All right, next topic.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right, so what happened this past week is I rebuilt my podcast website from scratch. I mean, I had started it earlier, but I mean, I finished it. I announced it the last week, but I had to do a bit of fine tuning. But what's interesting about this about this new site is how it's generated using Python script. And here's what I'm trying to get at is I started out as a static web developer, or had experience as static web developer, then got introduced to dynamic web development. And the difference between static and dynamic is static is like, it doesn't, from the perspective of you, the user, the person watching the website, the shit doesn't change until someone goes in there and makes the, think of a billboard. You know, it doesn't change until someone actually goes up there and says, oh, let's add the letter E or whatever, right? And a dynamic web page would be something that's generated on the fly. There we go. That can be generated on the fly, but it changes. Like sometimes it's grabbing data from like a database or something else to build up the page. Or think of your web banking. You know, anytime you hit refresh, sometimes it changes. Well, if you got money like that. But you know what? Okay, I'm doing a bad job explaining static, the difference between dynamic and static. So I'm going to speak from the perspective of someone who knows what the difference between a static and a dynamic web page is. And the beauty in there is how I went from being a static developer, dynamic, and now I have my web page falls under the definition of a static web page. It goes all in circle. And I'm just fascinated. In fact, because I guess in the old days, I wouldn't have been able to, I guess I could have. Nah. We're living in a time where I can write a script in Python that updates a website for me on the fly. And when you consider the fact that my webpage only changes when I publish a new episode, it makes sense. I guess I should specify, this is where I get a little nerdy, right? So what the script does is it takes my RSS feed for the podcast, notices that there's a new episode, then adds it, then builds it up into the web page, and then boom, uploads the web page to a web server, and then delivers it. And what makes it, did I already say fuck Elon Musk? Yeah, I did. Okay, right. The beauty is I like how it's like a one button solution. It's like, how does it work? Yeah. When I publish an episode, I run this script and it updates my webpage and then it also posts into social media. Well, in this case, it only posts to Blue Sky to say, hey, new episode. But that's because, again, fuck Elon Musk. I ain't paying $100 a month. And I could post on Facebook, but Facebook wants my DNA to get an account. So fuck that. But whatever. My point is, I had fun. Okay. I had fun writing the script. Now, for you developer purists, I have to say that I did use Claude AI to write these Python script to learn about this new shit. So whether that qualifies as write it or not, but it was my idea. That's my point. It was my idea. But I had fun, man. It's I think part of what I like about this podcast is not just, you know, beating my mouth on this. Wow. Okay, that's That's a Creole expression. It's not just speaking in the microphone and talking my shit, but it's also like everything around it, building website, promoting it, getting guest spots on other podcasts. It's and whatnot. Actually, I'm going to send a shout out to DJ EZLD. Back in the days of the early version of Shut Up Podcast, the early edition of Shut Up Podcast, him and I, we got together and we decided to come up with a mixtape for international, in a way to celebrate International Women's Day. We made a mixtape and it commemorated all the women of hip hop that we can remember. So, but it's got a lot of old school. Look, it's a dope ass mixtape. If I remember, I'll put it in the show notes. But it's a dope ass mixtape. I remember just looking it up, and it's like he still has it on his SoundCloud site. And it's a dope ass mixtape. I enjoy doing it. But that's another thing I like about podcasting is like little projects like that with other people. That was fun, and that I could say, yeah, we built that. We did that together. Yeah. Now, I should point out that he picked all the music. Well, what happened is I suggested the idea. I gave him a long-ass list of, hey, well, we could take MC like this. Yeah, I had a long-ass list of tracks that he could use, and he did the magic himself. He said, well, hey, I'm not using that list. But we were in sync. Everything he picked, it's things like I high-fived him. I'm like, thumbs up. It's like, how did you know? But it's a great, it was a dope ass mixtape, right? Yeah, interesting. So I just talked about how I collaborated with AI and collaborated with human beings. So I guess I'm normal.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Last one. All right. So this is, I'm going to play a, it's 2 minutes, 30 seconds long clip. I'm going to end this segment of randomness with this video, this TikTok video. And a content creator's name is I Am Soul Queen Woo, W-U. And the reason I'm sharing this is, one, it's because it's International Women's Day, and the content creator posts this message, and she dedicates the message to black women and black girls, right? Two is because how relevant her message is to me, because before I heard this message, I was actually thinking of making a segment about how I've been noticing how much I've been saturating myself with negative shit. Things that make me feel shitty about me, about the world, life, all the above. It's like depressing shit. I remember I attended this this workshop or this presentation on mental health or black people mental health. And the presenter was talking about how being mindful of the shit that you ingest. And she didn't mean, and she said, not just food, but video, movies, things, anything that makes you feel shitty about yourself. Now, I'm not going to lecture you about, you know, don't listen to bad rap music. No, just anything that makes you like feel less than. And so I'm grateful for her message of, I guess I should introduce, saturating your mind with, I'll tell you what, I'll just play it. There you go.
And this is a message for black women and girls. I challenge you to saturate your mind with information that reinforces the fact that you are worthy of the best life and the best love. And when you feel like you have consumed too much information that reinforces that notion, add more. Because here's what a lot of us miss out on. The fact of the matter is, our existence is at the crossroads of many points of systemic oppression. So we're not just oppressed because we are women, but we're also oppressed because we are black. And so what that means is that people all over the entire planet are being conditioned to believe that our humanity and our dignity and our likeness is somehow undesirable, needs to be suffered, and needs to earn love. And these notions are reinforced in hospitals, in laws, in schools, in education, in religion. There are so many people working in cahoots to reinforce this notion that Black women and girls are less than. And it is demonic and hateful. And the best way to drive out hate is to come face to face with it with love. Every time you love yourself, every time you choose yourself, every time you don't allow anybody to gaslight you out of believing you are not worthy of the best love, you are undoing centuries of systemic oppression. You are, in fact, becoming our ancestors' wildest dream. Love yourself, beloved, and do it radically until it feels like too much. And when the love feels like too much, add some more. Add some more. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think this is, right. Okay. This is last point I'm going to make is, if you think what she's suggesting is silly, pay attention to what you're currently ingesting, feeding your mind. And again, like I said, part of why I started to think about what if I stopped listening to what's going on in the United States, because it's listening to American news is just taking a toll on me, and I what's going on in. I was being mindful of the shit that I was feeding my body, my mind. That's what I'm trying to get at. So very powerful. All right. So links will be in the show notes. You can check it out for yourself. And happy International Women's Day. And let's take a quick break. When we get back, final say.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
And we're back. We are back. All right, finger in the butt. Yeah, now I've been meaning to talk about this topic for a while, and and you know what? Okay, joking aside, what this should be called is my journey into health, into being a healthier person. There we go. All right, and before I talk about it, I'm going to play a clip by Kev on stage that's inspired. What I'm about to talk about that inspired me to want to talk about my journey into being a healthier human being.
My annual physical today, so I tweeted that and said, Black men go to the doctor. And some of these responses are a lot. Nigga got fingered and trying to tell us to go. Wow. I don't think you know what happens at a physical. Nope. Stay healthy by constantly working out, eat right, and be active.
Nigga, please.
He said nope to going to the doctor. You should work out and eat right, but also getting an annual checkup is okay. You could have just said men go to the doctor. Smush. I'm a Black man. Black men traditionally have a higher rate of not going to the doctor compared to, you know, women in other races. So I'm a Black man talking to Black man. That's why I say Black men. Go to the gym, then you can avoid the doctor. Again, no. You can't screen for heart disease and cancer and things like that at the gym. Okay, I'm not saying don't go to the gym, but like, you can do both. Did you tweet this with a finger up your butt? Okay. Annual physical doesn't require fingers going on your butt. I think a lot of men don't know this because there's a couple responses like that. They do blood work, they check your pee, your vital signs, they ask you about your mental health, you know, sometimes an EKG, check your lungs. Things like that you talking about a rectal exam, that's for prostate. And that doesn't happen usually till you're between 40 and 45. I didn't say that, okay? Somebody responded under that. You could almost hear the moans as he's typing. Are y'all okay? Nigga said, go to the doctor in America. Lymphao. Sure, let me take out a small loan of $10,000. Okay, even without insurance, an annual physical is somewhere between $100 and $350. So not exactly cheap, but also not $10,000. Kev got finger banged. Have y'all ever had an annual physical? This is a common comment. I need to know what y'all think happens. Because it's not what happened to me on a Saturday morning. No, eat healthy and work out and take herbs. Yeah. Not genetically modified, made chemical drugs that doctors prescribe you to take. Cool. Nigga just put a finger in his butt, no spit. Now he don't want to be alone. Is everybody okay? Is everybody okay? It's a scam. I'm good. Do you, though? Somebody basically said, no, that's why y'all be dropping dead. And he said, I won't. F them con artists. God got us. And to end, I was called racist. Nigga. You know what? Don't go to the doctor.
Fuck him.
Don't go. It's your life. Do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, man. The ignorance is strong. Look, I'm very familiar with this level of ignorance, especially at the barbershop. I haven't seen it recently, but I'm very familiar with, I guess I should start out with saying shout out to my mom. She's a nurse. She was a nurse. She's retired now. And she was health conscious. So I was used to seeing a doctor or getting regular checkups. So that was always instilled in my mind. And, but yeah, I won't lie. When I was a kid, when I was a child, yeah, the idea of someone putting a finger on my butt felt weird. Felt foreign. Get it? Foreign finger? Anyway. And, should be putting my own finger in it. No. Anyways. But as an adult, again, I guess I'm saying by going to the doctors, this is interesting. Okay, I'm careful what I'm saying is. I guess I've developed a certain level of trust with health professionals. Even though as a black man, as a black person, we need to be a bit more careful, do our own research sometimes. But yes, I guess it was very familiar with, yo, look, doctor says drop your clothes. I'm fucking dropping my clothes. You know, I'm used to following the leader. What? Go in there, touch my... this one time I didn't trust the doctor is because okay, this is a journey, gang. Okay, fucking... You know, shut up, podcast. It's my goddamn podcast. I'm going to talk about some shit, right? This one time, I was young. The one time I didn't trust the doctor, I didn't do what a doctor told me to do, is... I went to some clinic. This is back then when I wanted to be I wanted porn star stamina, shit like that. So essentially I went to, I don't know, I found some flyer, some, you know, shady flyer about, I don't say shady, but it was supposed to be a clinic. Something about it felt shady, right? And I went to some specialist that dealt with erectile dysfunction. Right, went in there, and because I wanted to be like, look, man, I want a pro athlete performance, shit like that. I thought it was just gonna go in there, he's gonna give me, prescribe me some Viagra, and I'm done. Anyway, so homeboy's taking all kinds of information, and then he's asking me, okay, he said, then he was a point, he says, all right, drop your pants so I can see your, so I can see your dick. And you know what? I'm usually not the assertive type. I guess this was I don't know if I want to use homophobia. I don't know if I want to use, or fear of abuse, or just, look, this place doesn't feel legit. I guess that's what it was, man. And I remember saying, nah, I don't feel like doing that. And, but I did it in my timid self. I prefer not to. It's kind of cold. I don't know. I got to go. Whatever, right? But I remember the dude feeling offended at the fact that I wouldn't let him touch my dick. I still remember the look on his face. It's like, because he asked me, is there a reason? Is something I'm missing? I'm like, something don't feel right about this place. I don't know. I guess, you know what? I'm grateful I trusted my gut. But, oh, my God. Okay, right. my health, my journey into health. So what I was trying to say is, grateful for my mom, I had kind of developed a trusting relationship with health professional. And I guess I should emphasize the fact that I should also add the fact that I live in Canada. So it'd be kind of stupid not to take advantage of your healthcare system. Do you know what I mean? It'd be like, you know, I can understand Black Americans because it costs money. I understand. I'm not saying you should not go to get a regular checkup, but I'm saying I can understand if you've developed a us versus them or a untrusting relationship with healthcare professionals, especially because these motherfuckers make money. Anyways, all about that money. All right. So where was I? So fast forward, I'm in my 40s, or actually 30s, 35, and then 40s. I'm starting to pay attention to a lot of my favorite rappers dying at the age of 40. And a lot of them, I had an uncle, he died from prostate cancer. And I was seeing the signs, and I think the last two, I mean, Pac was one thing, he was shot, but people dying from, not of old age, but I thought I think the last two deaths that got me was Heavy D and Gangstar. There was something about them dying in their 40s rang some alarm. Well, there's also that, but I remember also too, rewind just a little bit, but go back in time just a little bit from my 40s. In my late 20s, I remember I was in a grocery store. I used to live in Oakland in the Bay Area, okay? And I was in a grocery store. I forget the name of the grocery store. And I didn't know shit. Okay, I said, I said that my mom put me on to being more healthy, but no, not really. Well, I mean, going to the doctors. But in terms of my diet sucked, right? So I'm in the grocery store. I live by myself, right? I can't cook for shit. So everything I'm buying is in a box. It's the kind of stuff that you reheat. It's like Hungry Man, all kinds of high sodium type shit. That's all in my grocery, in my shopping cart. This brother, again, I'm in the States. This is what makes it unique. This brother out of nowhere just walks up as I'm trying to pick something from the aisle. He goes in my shopping cart, grabs something, and he's reading the ingredient. And I'm like, do your mind. But he goes, you know, we got to be careful for our high blood pressure. You know, we got to be careful for our health and shit like that. That moment touched me. He didn't know me. I mean, we started chatting after that. We're becoming friends. Like that. But it was beautiful the way he was. It's like a bro nod, but bigger than a bro. Yeah, because we gave each other the bro nod before, right? But he just goes in my shopping carts and sees all the shit that I'm getting. And he just said, you know, he didn't say, hey, stop doing that. But he said, you know, we got to be careful of this kind of shit, right? He wasn't preaching. This wasn't like Prophet Muhammad. No, Elijah Muhammad, eat to live type shit like that. It was just a casual like, hey, you know, you got to be careful of the police. You got to be careful about, you know, walking the wrong street. And he was just like, yeah. You know, brother's like, you know, if Randolph from 3GO was listening to this, he kind of reminded me of a Randolph. Because Randolph is a health dude, right? And it was just the way, but the way he did it, it was, I felt cared. I was there by myself, but I felt like this complete stranger who doesn't know me. He wasn't saying this out of maliciousness. It was just like, you must learn. Yeah, I mean, dude, you're going in sundown town right now, shit like that there. But it marked it engraved in my mind. So fast forward back to I'm in like my 30s, 40s, and I'm starting to noticing that a lot of my favorite male rappers who I grew up listening are like dying like flies. And it was to the point where I was expecting to, well, I guess I'm going to die in my 30s, in my 40s. But I'm like, if I can help it, let me try to take this health shit more seriously. So I remember when I hit my 40s, I went in there and got a physical. And shout out to my doctor. I meant to make a joke about that, is how I got to my physical, and you know, because this, you know, I'm Canadian, I take my health care for granted. I showed up late, not on purpose, but I mean, I ended up showing up late, and my doctor, she like the assertive type. She was like, yeah, you know, hey, you know, she greets me, goes, yeah, and just established that, hey, I don't like motherfuckers showing up late for my appointment. She didn't use those words, but she established that don't do that again. Right? Okay. I take it as a sign of disrespect. Anyways, but I remember in my head thinking, lady, what the fuck? My tax dollars pays your salary. I didn't tell her that. But I remember feeling a little grumpy. I'm like, how dare you speak to me, you public servant? Anyways, I'm saying this whole thing because I'm having an attitude with this lady. And, you know, she gives my physical and I'm about to leave. She's like, oh, we're not done. And then she puts on her glove. You know what I mean? And she literally got in that ass. I mean, you gonna be on time, nigga? You gonna be on time, nigga? Okay, I'm good. Every time I've said that joke before, people took offense. It's like, she's a professional. She wouldn't do shit like that. But I just thought it was kind of funny. I'm copying an attitude with a woman who's about to stick a finger in my butt. You know what I mean? And treat me like a fucking pop socket. like a puppet. Anyways, yeah. I'm making myself laugh, and if it doesn't make you laugh, then fuck you. That's how I make people laugh. All right, okay. I guess what I'm saying was she did that last part. I was expecting it. I'm in my 40s. All the men older than me saying, yeah, man, you got to get that physical done, man. You got to get, you know, black man dying from prostate cancer. So just fucking get it done. If you forget everything that I'm saying, is just grow the fuck up. Get it done. Anyways, I continue on my journey into, this story isn't really about how I got a finger up my butt. The story is about how it just, I'm thinking of Kevin on Stage's clip and all these ignorant. What's killing black men is ignorance. What's going to kill black men is ignorance. Anyways, after that, I ended up getting a gym trainer. Okay, lesson learned, right? I remember getting a gym trainer at my time, right? At that time, and I was still young. I'm making progress, but I'm still young. And I remember the only criteria that I used to select a gym trainer was I was looking for a dude who was like you know what I mean? Like built, like jacked. I don't know if you say that in the States. That would like jacked, like, you know, like what's the name of that band from who was in House Party? But they got a lot of muscles on them, right? He had two things. He had a lot of muscle on him. He had the body shape that I wanted. And most important, it was the best part of the criteria, he had a hot girlfriend. I'm like, yes, yeah, right? I had the mindset of men who say shit like, yeah, man, you don't need therapy or you don't need to get physical, just go to the gym. I had that mindset. And anyway, so just using those two criteria, I hired a weight trainer only to realize that was the dumbest thing I could have done in selecting a gym trainer because I ended up hating this guy. It's one thing to hate your gym trainer because they're putting you on a diet or they're making you do exercise that you don't want to do. It's one thing. It's another thing to hate them as a human being. I made the mistake of adding him as a Facebook friend, and this motherfucker was saying all kinds of All Lives Matter shit on his. I just hated the dude, and I ended up conflating health with this guy. Yo, this dude, it would be the kind of person who would tell you who would, he made me realize that all those gym trainers, not all gym trainers are made equally. He's like, during the COVID shit, a lot of gym trainers were on this anti-vaccine shit. And I'm like, that made no sense to me. I thought you people were all about health. And, that's how I learned from to detect the frauds from the real. Anyways, so all this to say that didn't work out. But the lesson learned, and it took me like probably decades to realize that likability. If the next time I pick a gym trainer, qualification is one thing, But being a genuine good human being, a decent human being, is also, no, not just that, but getting along. It's someone you can get along with, because it's like a coworker. It's, you know, they're going to make you do shit you don't want to do, but at the very least, if you could be someone that you don't hate, that would help. Anyway, so lesson learned, and shout out to Precision Nutrition. That's where I learned about being a decent human being is a factor in physical, not just physical, but in just, if you're going to trust a healthcare professional, make sure it's someone that you don't hate, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say. And then from there, that's where, you know, started to go into therapy. I wrote, don't trust gym bros. Yeah, I've learned not to trust gym bros. COVID was an eye-opener between the people who, like, claim to be about health, but they ain't about shit and all that. So, yeah, I gave you long story just to say that when it comes to health, do your own research. I don't know what the call to action in this one is, but accept the tickets. You know, I can't talk too much shit about those brothers who are like against getting a physical, because I can relate to that ignorance. So I'm a dark-skinned black man, and I've never, ever applied sunscreen. And because I'm thinking that, no, I have superior genes. What the fuck? What the fuck would I need? The sun's my friend. But I had to look it up. I finally did a search and looked it up and saying that, yeah, no, man. Black people do not possess superior genes to white people. That's why I don't wear sunscreen, because then I have to let go of the idea that we don't have superior genes. And that we could also benefit from sunscreen. Like if you plan on staying out in the sun, then yeah, you need to protect yourself and shit like that. I'm like preaching to myself right now, and the part that really got me to say, okay, I need to take this sunscreen seriously, is because the white man, when they started marketing sunscreen, they left us out of it. They left black people out. They made it sound like, no, only white people need to take care of the skin, which is a fucking lie. So yeah, wear sunscreen, kids. Wear sunscreen. All right, I mean, oh shit, that's right. We're getting spring soon, so maybe this will be the year where I start wearing sunscreen. And if I do, you'll be the first one to know about it. Well, I'm going to get some black-owned sunscreen, that's for sure. You know who I don't trust, out of everyone to not trust, is a white dermatologist. Fuck that. Fuck that. How do I know you're not on that white supremacy bullshit? Anyways, all right, so kidding aside, but yeah, that was my journey into, that's my take on looking out for your health. And, ladies, man, ladies, if you want to know, I'm not going to give advice to women about how to find a good man, but I am going to say that I can tell you what all the red flags, any man who says shit like, yeah, man, don't get a physical, just go to the gym. Yeah, that's a red flag. That's a red flag. Or say shit like, you know, I don't wash my ass because washing my ass would make me gay. Yeah, that's a red flag. That's a big ass red flag. You deserve better, sister. All right. This concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Quick reminder, website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu. Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec, and probably Soul in the City on Much Music. I also represent a hold it down for black folks who said yes when they heard Big Rube ask the question on that famous first album, famous first Outkast album, when he asked the question,
are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, freaking liberal as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be there with Whitey, then fuck you too. And if you plan on writing in, you know, to complain about something I said or how I said it or what I talked about and shit like that, I want you to keep in mind in this context, I want you to remind yourself that it's my goddamn podcast. It's my goddamn podcast. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all. And
I am your
think now.